excellent is thy name in all the earth. You've been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you did form the earth and the world, from eternity past to eternity future, from antiquity to infinity, you are God. Thank you, because you're not just God, but you're our God. The God that's with us in trouble, the God that bears us up in struggle, the God that helps us and heals us. Thank you for being our God. Lord, would you be God in this place as we hear your word? Would you speak to us as only you can? Would you move in this place in such a way, Lord, that every person under the sound of my voice knows that they've been in your presence until their life is changed and transformed because of it? Thank you for your word. Because the entrance of your word brings light. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet, light to our path. Thank you for your word, because you sent your word and you healed them. Would you heal us today through your word? We're not going to wait until the battle is over to give you glory. You've got good credit with us. We'll praise you in advance. In the name of he who said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you clap your hands like you love the Lord? Come on, clap your hands like you love it. Hallelujah. And while we are clapping our hands, can we thank God for our great pastor, the Reverend Ronald Tony? Come on, we can do better. Amen. Amen. And I know that Lizzie Chapel isn't the kind of church that will serve the pastor on fine china and give his wife a Dixie cup. So in like fashion, can we celebrate Dr. Patricia Tony? Amen. Glory be to God. Listen, we're peacock proud, happy as can be, to be back in the city of Macon, Georgia, here at the great church, Lizzie Chapel Baptist Church, as you celebrate 127 years of Christian service. We thank God for you. Can we give God praise for our 127-year journey? Amen. Well, it's good to be here. My wife and I, you've already seen the beauty, the light, the lady in the Osborne house, and baby Joy is there along with us. Baby Joy would not want to miss coming to Lizzie Chapel. And so baby Joy is here with us. We thank God for Brother Bernie, who brought us here so wonderfully. And it's good to be here with you. I feel right at home. You know, Lizzie Chapel, we're down like four flats on a Chevy. And so it's good to see you again. I want to invite your attention to... This is going to be, Pastor, let me apologize in advance, somewhat of a non-traditional church anniversary sermon, but I just want to follow God's leading here, if that's all right. I want you to join me in the book of Ruth, the Old Testament book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. I want to read in your hearing verses 19 through 22. And if it is our custom to stand, let us be unified in our stand. Ruth chapter 1, Pastor, I'm going to apologize again in advance. I think I brought the wrong sermon, but we're going to get through it together. Ruth chapter 1, beginning of verse 19, and I want to read the scripture to you and give you what the Lord has placed on my heart, and prayerfully I'll be able to tell you like Elizabeth Taylor told her fifth husband. I won't be with you long now. Ruth chapter 1, beginning verse number 19, and reading from the English Standard Version, Bible says, "So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, 'Is this Naomi?' She said to them, 'Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?' So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest." Church, I want to talk to you just for a little while about how to beat bitterness. I want to talk to you about how to beat bitterness. You may have your seats. Hopefully this will help you in just a moment. If not, go ahead and give me a cursory amen. How to beat bitterness. In our text for consideration, brothers and sisters, Naomi returns to Bethlehem, and when she returns, she says something unusual. Pastor Tony, she says, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara." The name Naomi means my delight or pleasantness. The name Mara, the word Mara, by contradiction, means bitter. And her conclusion, brothers and sisters, is based both upon her theology and her reality. You must understand, brothers and sisters, that Naomi has had some tumultuous experiences. Her and her husband Elimelech leave Bethlehem during the time of a famine. Elimelech, Naomi, and her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, pack up everything in the middle of a famine, and they go to a place that God forbid them to go. They go to a place called Moab. And while she's there in Moab, her husband dies. Let me remind you once again now, they leave Bethlehem because of a famine. There is a famine in Bethlehem because God is bringing correction to his wayward people. The book of Ruth establishes itself at the time of the judges. And the book of Judges describes the time in which they lived as everyone did what was right in their own eyes. God being the loving parent, the protector that he is, he lovingly chastises the nation of Israel in order to bring them back in proper alignment and relationship with him. And so God allows a famine in Bethlehem. Like any good daddy and mama, Elimelech and Naomi make their way from the place of famine to Moab because they think they'll have abundance there, only to experience tragedy once again because Naomi's husband, Elimelech, dies. And if it's not bad enough sooner than later, not only does her husband die, but both her two sons, Malan and Kilian, both die. Now here is Naomi with her two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah, trying to survive in a male-dominated society. Here they are, brothers and sisters. You've got to understand the time in which they live. Perhaps Naomi could have survived without her husband. But never in her wildest dreams did she see herself outliving not only her husband, but her two sons also. You must understand that Naomi's survival was dependent upon a male in her family. Her survival, her health and wealth was connected to Elimelech, Malan, and Kilian. Perhaps she could have survived without her husband because her two sons would have taken care of her. But now, here she is, not only in a strange place, but dealing with circumstances and situations that she never saw coming. Brothers and sisters, I need to take a poetic pause here just a moment and invite you into the moment, because we've all been in Naomi's shoes. In 127 years, I know Lizzie Chapel has been in Naomi's shoes. And if you have lived any length of time, you too have been in Naomi's shoes, because you've had to deal with circumstances, situations, trials, and tribulations that you never saw coming. Naomi's in a place that she never anticipated being in, dealing with circumstances and situations that she never thought she would have to face. Perhaps she would live beyond her husband. Any reasonable person may live beyond the life of a spouse, but no one anticipates having to bury a child. And here she is, not only having to bury one son, but burying both of her sons. What do you do, brothers and sisters, when you are faced with circumstances in life, places in life, positions in life that you never thought you would have to encounter? Now, I know why you're looking at me like that, because maybe, just maybe, you've never experienced any cloudy days, any rainy days, any hardships, any moments of trial and tribulation in your life. But if that's where you are today, let me tell you, like grandmama told me, just keep on living, baby. Because sooner or later, trouble and trial will find us all. Oh, brothers and sisters, I can tell you from experience now that all of us will be invited into the classroom of trial and be taught by a teacher called pain that none of us ever want to experience. Oh, but I've got some hope for you, brothers and sisters. Here is the hope, that while we cannot determine what happens to us, all of us can determine how what happens to us affects us. We can't control what we go through, but we can control how we go through. I ain't got no help in Lizzie Chapel this morning. We can't control what we go through, but we can control how we go through. And when you and I go through situations and circumstances, we can either allow the situation to make us better, or it can make us bitter. Y'all ain't helping me. It's your choice about how it turns out for you. Circumstances will either make us bitter or better. It's all about how you go through it. Yeah, brothers and sisters, her experience is that her husband and her sons have died. That's her reality. But to add insult to injury, she's not bitter just because of her reality. She's bitter because of her theology. Because in her theology, Pastor, she says, I'm in the place that I'm in because God has me here. Brothers and sisters, she references God as the Almighty. That's in verse number 21. You didn't shut your Bible, did you? In verse 21, she says, I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi?
be seeing that the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me. Calling God the Almighty is acknowledging or calling him the irresistible one. What she's referencing is God's sovereignty. And by sovereignty, we mean God can do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, and to whom he wants to do it. I know why you didn't shout, because you didn't get the email I just got. Isn't it good news that God is so sovereign that he doesn't need anybody's permission to be good to you? He can bless who he wants, when he wants, how he, y'all ain't helping me. Isn't it good to know that he's sovereign? Let church say sovereign. But there's one thing that she missed about God. Pastor, not only is God sovereign, meaning he can do what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, when and where he wants to do it, and to whom he wants to do it to, but she missed the fact that while God is omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, everywhere and here at the same time, omniscient, he's all-knowing, omnisapient, he's all-wise, he's also omnibenevolent. That just means God is always good all the time. When you get in the middle of your trial, brothers and sisters, you got to remind yourself that the presence of a trial doesn't mean God's not being good to you. Even when life is bad, God is still good. Oh, this is where Paul gets those sayings like Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good of them who love God and they who are called according to his purpose. This will make you say crazy things like no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. This will make you say some crazy things like 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come nigh me. Only with my eyes shall I see. It'll make you say some crazy stuff like we are more than conquerors. I wish I was with some Bible readers this morning. Through him who loved us. Will you be a preacher in the pew and tell your neighbor, even when life is bad, God is still good? Yeah. When we understand that God is good and he's got good plans for us, we can turn around in moments of trial and say, God, I may not understand why I am where I am. Oh, but I trust you in the middle of it. My question is, brothers and sisters, if her saying, don't call me Naomi, don't call me pleasant, don't call me my pleasantness or my delight, call me bitter. If her saying is based on her experience or her reality and her theology, how do we move from bitter to better? How do we beat bitterness? How can I beat bitterness? Because even in this room this morning, there are some people who are crippled by bitterness. Brothers and sisters, unresolved issues can leave you bitter. Bad breakups can leave you bitter. Unsavory relationships can leave you bitter. And Paul tells us that we ought to look diligently lest a root of bitterness spring up. That means if you and I aren't watching, bitterness can arrest our hearts. Oh, so I need to know, preacher, how can I beat bitterness? Well, let me give you these three keys. Here it is, key number one. If I'm going to beat bitterness, number one, you and I need to refocus our sights. We need to refocus our sights. Simply put, that means you need to look at where you are, not where you were. Verse 19, the Bible says, now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they came to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? In verse number 19, Bethlehem is mentioned twice. And when anything in Scripture is mentioned twice, it's mentioned there to draw our attention. The place Bethlehem means fertility. It's a fertile place. It is a place called House of Bread, known because of the richness of the soil. And later on, it would not only be known as Bethlehem, but it would become Bethlehem Ephrathah. Name Ephrathah meaning abundance. She's in a place called House of Abundant Bread. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Her theology and her reality was based on her trials in Moab. But she's not in Moab anymore. Now she's in Bethlehem. I wish I could preach this like a feeling. Naomi, you're bitter because of what happened back then. You're bitter because of your experiences in Moab. But you're not in Moab anymore. Now you're in Bethlehem. Lizzie, you missed your shout. Here it is. The danger in going through and being bitter is that you can miss the blessing of being in a new place because you still got an old man. Here it is. If you allow yourself to remain bitter, you'll miss the blessing of where you are because of the tragedy that happened where you were. Here it is. The worst thing that can happen to you and I is for us to come into a new place but have an old mindset. Look at the children of Israel, brothers and sisters. In one night, God rescued or brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. It took him one night to get Israel out of Egypt. But it took him 40 years to get Egypt out of them. Here it is. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to beat bitterness, I've got to tell myself that was then, this is now. Oh, I want you to know it happens in church world too. That people will be bitter about what happened at their old church and bring old bitterness into a new place. Y'all don't want to help me preach this. I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that God's got you in a new place. Let what happened go so that you can embrace what God has for you right now. Tell your neighbor you got to refocus your sight. Oh, brothers and sisters, you do realize there is a reason why your windshield is bigger than your rearview mirror. The bigger picture is always in the direction that you're going. Why is it that most of us are trying to drive forward looking behind us? You ought to tell your neighbor that was then, this is now. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you've never had it happen to you, just meet some people. Meet up with some folk that knew you in your BC days. And don't they always try to remind you of who you were and what you did and how it happened? But you can say with a surety, that was then, this is now. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. I thought I had some help here. All things have passed away, and behold, everything. Tell your neighbor, come on, we're moving forward now. We're moving forward. We're moving forward. Church, you've got many years ahead of you. You got to refocus your sights because your best days are not behind you. Y'all ain't going to help me preach this. I'm always afraid of a church who has all of their glory days in their history. I, I, I know we have a rich history, but are you in touch with God to hear about your destiny? I'm losing my audience. Tell somebody you got to refocus your sights. Here it is. Here it is. If we're going to beat bitterness, not only do you have to refocus your sights, but you have to reassess your circle. Here it is. Here it is. You got to reassess your circle. That means you got to look at who you have left, not who left. I'm getting ready to mess up. You got to reassess your circle. Look at who you have left, not who left. You didn't close your Bible, did you? Verse 19 says, so the two of them went out until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? She said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. Y'all missing the shout. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Naomi, you're bitter because you lost your husband Elimelech, and you lost your sons Mahlon and Chilion. But don't worry about what you lost. Are y'all gonna help me preach this? Don't worry about who you lost, Naomi. Look at who you have left. Because, brothers and sisters, sometimes God can't move because you have too many. Y'all ain't gonna help. Y'all ain't gonna like this here. Here it is. I want to assure you that if anybody can just leave your life, you ought to let them. Here it is, one of the most powerful things that are written in Ruth chapter 1. After Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion die, Naomi says, girls, I can't take care of y'all. Even if I had some more children, you gonna wait on them? I suggest you go back to your folks and live a good life. And the Bible says Orpah walked away. She left. That's powerful. Because if anybody can ever just leave you, you ought to let them. Don't you cry over them one more day. Don't shed another tear. Don't you mourn one more day. Just let them. Because God never ties where you're going to who left you. All right. I'm losing my audience. Here it is. Sometimes God's got to slim you down to get you in the right position to bless you. Why would you say that, Reverend? Well, when I look in the book of Judges, there was a judge named Gideon there. And the Bible says Gideon had a massive army. But God said, no, you got too many for me to give you the victory. He says, here it is. This is what I want you to do. Tell everybody that's scared to go home. Because Gideon, you're scared and you've been drawing people that are insecure just like you. Scared people can't fight together, so tell everybody that's scared, go home. And after the scared folk go home, then God says, no, you still got too many. Take them down by the water. Everybody who puts their head down in the water to drink, send them home too. Because not only do you have to be afraid of scary people, but you need to be concerned about thirsty people. You got to be careful about folks that'll do anything to satisfy their thirst. You got to be careful with folk who'll do anything. Y'all ain't helping me. Here it is. And it's with 300 that God gives Gideon the victory. Well, that's what happens with my homegirl, Naomi. Naomi, you're upset because you don't have Elimelech, you don't have Mahlon, you don't have Chilion, and Orpah just walked away from you. But you need to reassess your circle, because you think you're poor because all you have is Ruth. And Ruth is a little poor Moabitess girl. Oh, but I want to tell you, Ruth may be poor, but she's got a whole lot of potential. I'm losing my audience. Ruth may be poor, but she's got a whole lot of potential. Will you just tell that person next to you, tell them you're sitting next to a whole lot of potential. Yeah, she's got a potential. We don't learn about conversion until we get to the New Testament. But Ruth gives the strongest statement of faith in the Old Testament. When Naomi says, girls, you can go back to your families, Ruth says, oh no, I'm staying with you. Where you go, that's where I'm going. Where you stay, that's where I'm staying. Where you die, that's where I'm going to die. Your people are going to be my people, and your God is going to be my God. You ought to realize, brothers and sisters, you don't need everybody to go with you. But if God ever gives you one somebody that'll stick with you no matter what's happening, one somebody that'll ride with you in the good and in the bad, if you ever get one somebody in this life. Ruth may be poor, but she's got a whole lot of potential, because Ruth is going to hook up with a brother named Boaz. Ruth and Boaz are going to have a son named Obed. Obed's going to have a son named Jesse. And Jesse's going to have a son named David. And you know who David is. David's got the 23rd Psalm in him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David's got Psalm 27 in him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. David's got Psalm 34 verse 6. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes. Ruth, you're not empty. You got the Psalms in you. But not only that, not only is David there, but David's great, 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 great grandson in the line of David. You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus, the one who's gonna be hung up for our hang-ups, gonna be crucified on a cross, buried in a tomb, and raised early Sunday morning. Ruth, you're not empty. High five somebody, be a preacher in the pew, high five somebody and tell them you're sitting next to a whole lot of potential. Y'all didn't tell them like you meant it. You didn't tell them like you meant it. You ought to tell somebody else, you're sitting next to a whole lot of potential. I might not look like much now, but don't judge me based on how I look right now. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet, but when God gets through with me, when God gets through with Lizzie Chapel, we're gonna come forth. Somebody holler, I got potential. All right. Be seated just one moment. Be seated, please. Just one moment. Just one more time. I'm getting ready to get out your way. Here it is. If we're going to beat bitterness, we got to refocus our sights. We got to reassess our circle. Oh, but here it is. We have to realize that we're on schedule. Here it is. Naomi, don't look at what time it was. Look at what time it is. Naomi, you left during a famine. But the Bible says now they return. Here it is. At the beginning of barley harvest. Y'all don't know when to shout. Here it is, verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. You missed your shout. You missed your shout. They left during a famine, but they came back during harvest. Let me rewind it one more time. They left during a famine. A famine is a sign of God's divine displeasure. But they came back at the beginning of harvest. And you know what harvest is. Harvest is a sign that the time of God's divine displeasure is over. They left during a famine, but they came back at the time of harvest. You know why they came back at harvest time? Because he's an on-time God. God wants you to realize that no matter how many seasons you've spent going through, he's going to bring you back on time. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we look at our lives and our circumstances and we get bitter thinking that if things had been different, if circumstances had been different, if situations had been different, maybe my life would have turned out differently. But God uses Naomi to teach us that he's got you right on schedule. You don't have to be bitter about who's walking in their blessing, because the same God that blessed them is the same God that's going to bless you. You don't have to get upset when somebody is in their season of blessing. God is no respecter of persons. He'll bless them. He'll bless you. Oh, there's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do the same for you. You got to realize, brothers and sisters, he's on schedule. He's got your own schedule. Tell somebody, like they said in the old church, he's an on-time God. Your neighbor, if your neighbor didn't shout, don't you talk to them no more in the service. Find you one more somebody and tell them, he's an on-time God. He may not come when you want him. I wish I could preach this like I feel it. But he's always on time. Matter of fact, can you do me one more favor? Can you shake a neighbor's hand? Shake it like you're going to shake it off. Shake their hand like you got the Holy Ghost. Shake their hand like God's been good to you. And I want you to look at them like they owe you some lunch money. And tell them, I got good news for you. Tell them, I got good news for you. No matter what you've been through, you're on schedule. And God's going to give you everything with your last name on it. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying to you. I got to leave you alone, but can you tell somebody else your own schedule? But here's the thing that blessed me. Can I tell you what blessed me? The Bible didn't just tell us that they came back in a harvest. The Bible tells us that they came back at the beginning. Can I tell you why I shouted? I shouted because Naomi had been through so much for so many years, but God so sovereignly orchestrated it that he would break up what she had going on in Moab to bring her back on time for barley harvest. She came back at the beginning of barley harvest. So Lizzie Chapel, I'm going back to Savannah, but I can't leave without telling you the good news. Somebody say, what's the good news, Reverend? Here's the good news. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of God blessing you. Can you do me one more favor? Can you shake a neighbor's hand that you haven't shaken yet? Shake their hand with some grip in your hand. And I want you to tell them this is just the beginning. So if you can't stand what God has done thus far, watch me just a little while longer. He's just getting started. The best is yet to come. Y'all ain't helping me. Can you tell somebody else, find you one more Lizzie Chapel member in here and tell them we're celebrating 127. But the best is yet to come. You still ain't got your neighbor got locked jaw. Find you one more somebody and just tell them, did you hear what I said? The best is yet to come. That neighbor sleep. You need to find you one more somebody. Can you find you somebody who looks like they came to bless the Lord? Can you find you somebody in the sanctuary who looks like God has been good to them? And tell them, if you think this is something, you ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. I came to tell somebody that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men what God has in store for you. So don't you wait until the battle is over. Shout now. Put your arm around somebody. Do it like they say in Middle Georgia. Put your arm around a neighbor. Shake them and rock them. Rock them and shake. Y'all ain't shaking nobody. Put your arm around somebody. Shake them and rock them. Rock them and shake them. And say, neighbor, I can't speak for you. I can only speak for myself. But God is just getting started. Blessing me. Blessing my family. Blessing my church. Because y'all ain't helping me. Tell them this is just the beginning. God's just getting started. So don't you wait until the battle is over. Shout now. Shout now. Shout now. Is there anybody here? Anybody here? Anybody here that's glad the famine is over and the harvest is here? If you know that famine is over and a harvest is here, I want you to give God the best praise you can. Give God the best praise you get. If you believe that you're walking out of your famine into fullness, I wish I could preach this like a feeling. I got to leave you alone. But can you ask somebody, ask them, do you feel like I feel? You ain't got the right neighbor. Find you one more somebody and ask them, do you feel like I feel? Y'all ain't talking to nobody. Find you one more somebody who looks like God's been good to them and ask them, do you feel like I feel? How do you feel? Tell them, I got a feeling that everything is gonna be all right. Say yeah.